So if you could please turn our Bibles to the New Testament, in the book of Matthew, chapter 19 and verse 21. If you have one of these brown books, it's page 1168. So just a little background here. They were in a place of worship, and there were people that were giving offerings, kind of like what we do. You know, we give offering to give some money to the offering, and I'll pick it up from there. And Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect." And so this is, just to go back a little bit. So this young man asked Jesus Christ on verse 20. Says, "The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from youth, what I lack yet." So Jesus Christ was talking to a young man, and he just saw a lady, a woman who was poor, and then she put a very small amount of money into the offering. So Jesus said, and he is asking Jesus Christ, he was asking him, what should I do as a young man? What would be a good thing to do to be a believer? So Jesus said to him, thou shalt, Jesus Christ has given him from the Old Testament, if you go back in the Old Testament, if you recall the commandments that, God gave to Moses, and he's saying, thou shalt commit no murder, no commit no adultery, and he says, don't steal, honor your father and mother. And we pick it up from on 20, and he says, the young man saith unto him, I've kept all these things from my youth, what lack I yet? So Jesus, on verse 21, he says, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come up and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So, a couple of days ago, most of you know, my wife and I just had a baby last month, and so when I went, I took two weeks off from work, and I, when I came back to work, good friend of mine, coworker, he asked me, hey, how's the baby doing? And I said, oh, he's doing great, and he's healthy, we're so grateful for that. He has 10 toes, 10 fingers, so he's normal. And I told him it's this wonderful feeling, because I've never been a dad before, first time father, and I always see other parents and how much joy they have when they see their kids. And I thought God would never ever let me be a dad, just because he probably, I was thinking like, I think I'm not a father type of person. I was always on the go, and I like being outside, being adventurous. And then I met Stacy, of course, and she's, I feel so blessed, because Stacy has been humble enough to stay at home. She put her goals aside for family, and she decided to just stay home, and then we decided to live with just one income. And it's a humbling feeling to know that somebody else is humble enough to stay at home and be a full-time mom, which is, from my experience in the past few days that I've had our son, it's really probably the hardest job there is. And so I told him too, I said, you know, it's kind of strange because he relies upon myself and my wife. He could not feed himself. You know, he could not clothe himself, change his diaper. There's no way he would survive. Humans are just so frail compared to, like, if you've ever seen a horse born, the first thing they do is they start galloping. And humans, you know, human babies can't do that. And I said, it's a strange feeling to have someone's life in your hands and you're completely in charge of this person's life. And it's strange in that way, but it's also very it's very humbling. So a couple of nights ago, I looked at my son and I said, you know, wow, I really don't deserve this. I really, really don't deserve such a beautiful child. And then I realized that, you know, God has given me so much responsibilities at that point. So I would like to share with you an article. A couple of days ago, Glenn sent me a text message, and he says, can you give the message this Sunday? And I was, you know, usually it takes me about a week or two to prepare. And so I started going through, reading through articles, like, what can I talk about this Sunday? And so, and God in his, he's the Almighty God, you know, he's just so knowledgeable. He sent me, like, the first thing I did, I opened up a website that I like to go through. It's a sports website, and I read this article. So the title reads, National MVP Bryce Harper. I don't know if you guys are fans of baseball. He's quoted as saying, don't sell me short on big future play. So the article goes, Bryce Harper, he was the MVP of the National League last year. So he's 23 years old, the youngest player ever to be awarded the MVP. And the MVP means you're so valuable to that team that if they were to take you off, probably half of your wins would not be credited to your team. That's how valuable he was to that team. 23 years old. And he was quoted as saying, don't sell me short. So potentially, experts are saying that when he signs this contract at the end of 2017, he's worth $400 million, which is considered the most lucrative, the biggest payout ever in baseball history. That's all of baseball history. And baseball goes back before the turn of the 19th century, you know, around the 1800s, professional baseball. $400 million. And to put in perspective, the next lowest guy, the guy that now has the record for the highest payout ever for a baseball player, is $325 million. $325 million is a lot of money, right? But this guy, he's worth $400 million, which is $75 million more. So he's saying, don't sell me short. So just to put in perspective, the average house in California cost $393,000. $393,000. Just for the price difference between him and the second place paid guy, he can buy 191 houses. 191 houses. He could give homes to 191 families just in the price difference. That's not even his entire salary. If you put it in context of vehicles, I priced a Honda Civic, which is a moderately priced vehicle. It comes out to about $18,640 for the cheapest Honda Civic you can buy. So he can buy 4,023 cars and potentially give 4,023 people a way to get to work, to school. So essentially you can think of, he can single-handedly congest you know, Los Angeles just by the difference of the price. This is not even his entire salary. And just one more comparison, because I was doing this because I was like, I really have no idea what $75 million is. I've never seen that much money. So you The average price ticket for a San Diego Padres game is $50 per seat. So he can buy 1,500,000 tickets for that $75 million. And that translates to about 42,445. So the stadium, San Diego Padres Stadium, seats 42,445 seats. So he can buy 35 games, fill up the entire stadium, and give out all of the tickets to everybody. And he would, that's 35 home games. That's an insane amount of money. But I was thinking about it. There's one thing you can't buy with that money. You can't, you know, I don't know Bryce Harper, if he's saved or not. I don't know if he is a Christian. I don't know if he's accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. But all of that money can't buy his salvation. None of that. So just think about it. If Bryce Harper, he's not saved, let's just say he passes away and then he goes up to heaven where God asks him, hey, Mr. Harper, do you think you deserve to come into heaven? His answer would be, yeah, I gave, you know, I donated money to the charity and I did a lot of work for inner city kids and I helped out a lot of inner city kids and going to school, getting educated. And God's going to ask him, like, well, did you accept my son as your Lord and Savior? And if he said no, God would be like, well, you can't come in. I'm sorry, Mr. Harper. You're not welcome in my kingdom. Because Bryce Harper can't take that $75 million. Even if he had a conversation with God and said, I imagine if he said, Lord, I have $400 million. I'd like to give it to you just to pay for one of my sins. And God would say, not enough money. Not enough. There's not, if you were to take all the gold in the entire universe, all the precious stones, all of whatever currency we have, it's not enough to pay for even one sin. And God is perfect. He's so perfect, he can't have imperfection in his presence. And the only way imperfection is paid is through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven to pay for our sins. So if you think about in context of our human abilities, right? I know ever since Stacy got pregnant, it seemed like I gained weight too, and I've stopped working out and I stopped doing a lot of things. And you can totally tell, I can tell from just waking up in the morning sometimes, I know I'm not healthy, you know? And there's a diminishing part of our physicality. And everybody's abilities and physical well-being will eventually go away. I will die, you will die, it's an eventuality. Everybody dies. And Bryce Harper's talents, he's 23 now, but when he's 40, it all goes away. Hand-eye coordination, his speed, his power, his strength, all of that goes away. His money will go away. Even if he invested it and put it in a bank and just lived off of interest, he dies, he can't take that to heaven. All that stuff, it goes away. Everything goes away. So we look at $400 million, right? We are priceless. We are worth more than $400 million. This is how valuable your life is. God sent his only son, and his son said, I'm going to leave this place of comfort where I have, you know, I have rule over everything. I'm going to humble myself because you are so powerless. You humans are so powerless against sin. Now, we can go back to the very beginning of time when Adam and Eve, they caved into sin. They surrendered everything that God had for them, paradise, perfection, no hunger, there's no need for clothing, none of that. You know what they did? I want a bite of that fruit. We succumb to sin like it's nothing. Trust me, we all succumb to sin. And if you tell yourself you don't, you're lying to yourself. Somebody's lying to you. The devil, the enemy is lying to you. That you think that you can walk into a place where you're not supposed to be. If you have an alcohol addiction, you don't go into a liquor store to buy milk or to buy fruit and excuse yourself and rationalize the fact that you're there. No, you don't do that. Why? Because you are going to succumb. You're going to take that first sip, which leads into something else. That's what sin does. You cannot pay for your own sin. And Christ paid for your sins and mine. Am I worth it? In my honest opinion, I am not worth it. I don't know how you feel about yourself. This is just me. I know I'm not worth it. God's not, you know, but he loved me so much. You know, my son, he loved my son so much. My son is going to sin when he gets older. But he loved my son. He said, I'm going to die for you. I don't even, you know, you haven't been born yet. You don't know me yet. I'm going to die for you. It's so incredible. If you asked me today and said, Alfredo, you love your son. And I said, yes, I love my son. I would say, yes. What are you willing to do? I would tell you in a heartbeat. I would give anything that I have, everything that I have. If he needed my kidney, I'd give him my kidney. If he needed my heart, I would give him my heart. That's how much I love my son. But no matter what, you know, my wife and I started saving up for his future, right? Going to college. I know I want him to go to school. I don't know what his plans are, but I would love for him to go to school. But I can save up everything that I own right now to buy him a house, to buy him a car, to buy him school, to buy him whatever he needs, clothes, shoes. I can't buy him his own salvation. I cannot buy him his own salvation. I can't put myself on the cross and die for him and say, I'm doing this for my son. I can't, because I'm not perfect. But Christ did that for you and for me. So your soul, Brad, I don't know if you guys, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I think, Brother Fernando gave out the message with the $1.5 billion of lottery ticket, how he was, I was very impressed with that message. It was just taken aback how people are so willing to invest their time and money into something that could happen, one in million chances of happening. But yet people are not investing in their own souls to go into heaven. And it's 100% guaranteed. There's no such thing. If you were to go to a bank and they told you, well, you have a 10% return, you're like, what? 10% return is a lot of money. It's a lot of money back for what you're investing in. But God's return is 100%. 100%. You just say, yes, I accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. So you can't save your soul. You can't pay for your own soul, your own salvation. And we know that from the book of John, chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no way to heaven except through me. That's from God himself, because essentially Jesus Christ is God himself. And that's the way for you to get to heaven. So I know what it's like. When I was in high school, before I was saved, I used to be in your chair, and I would look up, and I would admire the person speaking on the podium, and I would think, like, wow, that's a good man. He's a really good man, and he has, you know, I couldn't just see it on the things that he said when he was up here, but when he was down, you know, with talking to people, or I see him when he's in plain clothes, nobody knows he's a Christian, but there's people you can just tell they're Christians. They are good people, and that God has blessed them, and that they are out doing the work of God every day, and you can just tell with them. But all of that, if he's doing actions that show that he's a Christian and yet he's not saved, there's no way for him to go to heaven. What was it? Like this week, I was watching the news and they televised the Pope going into Mexico City, and there were people from California and Texas, and they were showing him on the news, and they were talking on the news. Wow, I just saw the Pope, and, you know, he spoke, and he did this water thingy with everybody, and now they're all absolved of their sin. You know, it's so sad because the Pope cannot absolve you of your sin. He can't take away your sin. He can't tell you, magically you're forgiven, because he does not have that power. As rich and powerful he is, he's an amazingly powerful man. You know, did you guys know that the largest private owner of lands in the entire United States is the Catholic Church? They own more land property here in the U.S. than any single being. You know, I think Ted Turner owns 80% of Montana. He bought it, you know, for the reserve. That's a lot of land, but the Catholic Church owns more. This guy has his own airplane. He has his own city, the Vatican City. It's the richest city in the world. They have everything. None of that can pay for their sins. And so I know what it's like to be in your shoes on the seat, and you're looking up and you're thinking, I don't wanna accept Christ yet because I'm not done sinning. And you know, you're trying to rationalize the actions that you're doing. There's one day you're gonna step out of your house and it's your time to be called. And God's gonna say, well, it's time to call you. Are you ready? Are you ready when you go up to heaven and or wherever it is? I don't know what it's gonna be like. I have no idea. Nobody does. When the Father asks you, are you ready to say, yes, my ticket is paid for. Yes, I can come into the kingdom of heaven because I know that I'm a sinner, but God, you have sent your Son to pay for my sins, and I accepted him as my Lord and Savior, and therefore his blood has washed away the sins that I have committed while I was in the flesh. Are you ready? And if your answer is no, please think about it. God is knocking at your door, and answer him, because there will be a time where you cannot answer him.